Do you know beyond any shadow of a doubt that you are here to do something wonderful with your life? Do you feel that call deep inside you to bring your sacred healing gifts and transformational knowledge to the world around you? Do you want to feel inspired as you build your business doing your beautiful work? Do you want to learn how to build a successful spiritual business? Well then, you're invited to listen in to the Divinely Intuitive Business Radio Show, where we explore how fun and easy it can be to build a strong, abundant business while at the same time staying deeply connected to the divine using your intuition, your own sixth sense. Join the irreverent Reverend Ann Presswell as she and her guests explore the many ways you can build a deeply connected, authentic, powerful spiritual business making money without feeling like you've sold your soul. You are here to get your gifts out to the world in a powerful, abundant way, and your people are waiting for you. Let's help them find you. Now, here's your host, Reverend Ann Presswell.
We are here today with Janet Roper, who is an animal communicator, and I'm really excited to talk with her. Before I introduce her, I want to just welcome you all to the show, those of you who are listening live, those of you who are listening on the webcast, and those of you who are listening later. Thank you, thank you, thank you for taking the time. Wow. Another intro. All right. Thanks, Elizabeth. Okay, so we are, I'm going to say a blessing. I think we just got blessed twice. That was really great. And then I'll pull an angel card. So take a moment and just tune in to your heart center, your heart chakra, and get connected, because your pets, the animals around you, all of them are connected with you, and they're reading your energy. They're tuning into you all the time. The way for us to connect with them is for us to be very present and connected to our own hearts. So just take a moment and drop in, get connected, get present, and say thank you. Thank you for this incredible ability that we have to communicate with our animals, with the world around us. We know that we can do this, and we accept this incredible gift. So we say thank you. Thank you, thank you, and so it is. Today's angel card is the Inspiring Message card. It's a beautiful angel with bright pink. She's bright pink background. The message on the card says, "My message is powerful and an inspiration to all who hear it." And the reason that card came up today, I think, is that, I'd say probably 20 years ago, maybe even less than that, animal communication was just such a, like, what kind of conversation, right? And it takes a lot of courage to step into your own message, your own truth. And when you do, it does inspire others. And I'm just thinking about how I'm so inspired with the whole idea that I can communicate with my kitties. And actually not just the kitties, but the squirrel that's running up and down on the tree outside the window, or the lizards who are hanging out at the pool next to me, or the toad that jumped in because they were mowing and now he's going, oh my God, I'm going to drown if I don't get out of here. I'm always rescuing toads and, little lizards and baby iguanas and stuff like that out of the pool. So, like, animals are always talking to us, and I'm fascinated, absolutely fascinated by this whole ability to talk with them and hear what it is that they have to say and share with us. And so the reason I invited Janet is that I were friends on Facebook, and I connected with her, and I went to her website, and I read some, I don't remember what it was, so it was something on her blog, I don't know. And I commented on her blog about, my... my trauma drama that I've had this year with ants in my house. And so we're going to talk about that, I promise you. I promise you we're going to talk about that. But let me introduce Janet first. Janet is an animal advocate. She's a writer. She's an internationally known animal communicator, and she's the host of the radio show Talk to the Animals at talktotheanimalsradio.com. She offers a unique program called Pet Grief, which supports and helps people who are grieving the loss or even the anticipated loss of their pet, whether through the death, the disappearance, or surrender through life changes. And that, you know, we all know that can be very, very traumatic. She's certified in Reiki 1, and she's working towards becoming a Reiki master, which I love because, like, who doesn't love Reiki? I'm always doing it with my kitties. And she is cheerfully owned and managed, I love this, by two cats, a dog, and one best horse. Janet, I'm so excited to have you on the call. I want to hear everything that you have to say. I know we can't even begin to cover it all, but I just want to welcome you. Thank you for taking the time for being here with me today.
Oh, Anne, this is such a delight and such a pleasure. And thank you so much for the invitation. And I just love the synchronicity of how you have ants in your house. And the next thing I know, we're talking on Blog Talk Radio. I love it.
You may not
love it as much as I do, but I do.
I'm like, I got to get this chick on the radio. I want to hear what she has to say, you know? Because, you know, I've long been fascinated with the whole animal communication, and frankly, I feel like I do communicate with them. I don't at the level that you do, and I don't probably have that fluidity. I know I don't. I mean, I haven't, you know, practiced it to develop it. But I do have trust in it, and I do trust that I get, you know, information a lot. But I want to know, how did you get started as an animal communicator? Like, where did this, I mean, seriously, you know, like I said, 20 years ago, like, animal communicator, what? You know what I mean? And now
exactly. It's
a lot more common. Yeah. So talk to me about that.
Well, you know, actually, my entire life has led me up to this point. My background is in music, and you listen as a musician. It's also in spiritual direction, and you listen in spiritual direction. But the way I got into animal communication itself was, you know, I'm an animal lover, so I went to the Humane Society and I saw this adorable dog that I knew was just mine. And this was before I was really into consciously using my intuition, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so I knew that little guy was mine. And working out of the left side of my brain, I asked all the right questions. You know, his name was Tundra at the time, this beautiful little, well, actually he was dirty and overweight at the time, little happy dog. And one of the questions I asked was, does he keep his kennel clean? And they said, well, yes, he keeps his kennel clean. Of course he does. So I took Tundra home, renamed him Teddy. And you know what? Teddy kept his kennel clean, and he used the entire house as his place to go pee and poop. And I thought, what the heck, you know? And, you know, Ann, you can't make this stuff up, okay? So I took him into the vet because I was thinking, well, he's 8 years old, you know, there's something physical going on. Oh, no, he's in great shape. And we worked with a trainer, and the trainer and I were not on the same page on how to relate to animals, so that didn't work. Trainers are great. I just happened to work with one that we weren't a good match for each other.
Hmm.
And so I'm sitting in front of the fireplace one day here in cold Minnesota getting ready to light up a fire, and this ad for animal communicator literally falls into my lap from the paper I was getting ready to crinkle up and throw in the fire.
Hmm.
And I'm going, what the heck? I've tried everything else. So the communicator lived in my area. I called her out of desperation, as like I say, on, you know, I'm out on that last whim branch. And she came over, and I noticed the way that she worked with both me and Teddy was something I've unconsciously done with animals all my life. And I didn't know it had a name. So I watched her, I worked with her, and then I would say within 6 months that Teddy totally kept the house clean, so
wow.
Much so that I redid it. I got new furniture, I got new carpeting,
wow.
Gave everything the scrub down, you know, and it was an amazing thing to observe. And the most amazing thing, I think, was to...
I'm like, hold on. I got questions, all kinds of questions. First
okay.
of all, is the story is just so incredibly funny. But what was going on with Teddy that he was not keeping the house clean, but he was keeping his kennel clean? I mean, what comes to me as well, I'm asleep there. Why would I poop there? You know, but the rest of the
right.
house, like, why was it okay for him? And how did he make that transition to
right? You know, I hear what you're saying.
Clean, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the story that Teddy told the communicator, which she relayed to me, was that he was just the most, I called him my 17-year-old perpetual puppy when he passed on, because he looked like one of those little stuffed animals that you'd win at the fair. Had such a winning smile and just such a gracious personality and everything. And because of his looks, okay, he ended up in his first family with some folks who hadn't had dogs before, but he matched their apartment, their townhouse.
Oh.
Now, this is what Teddy is saying. So they didn't know how to potty train him. And so sometimes it was okay to go potty on the floor, and sometimes it wasn't. Sometimes it was okay to go potty on the paper and, you know, the training pads, that was okay. But he could not differentiate between a training pad and newspaper papers left on the floor, okay?
Right.
So then they would get angry and they would leave. And because they worked, you know, horrendous schedules, he was left at home during the day. Mm-hmm. So that was the hard transition for him, was the understanding. And also, he was a people pleaser. One of the saddest things I think I've ever seen in my life was when I first adopted Teddy and I got him home, I was talking to my neighbors. And we were trying to come up with, you know, an appropriate name for him. So we're standing in a circle, and Teddy's in the middle of a circle. And each one of us would call him a different name, and he would come to us. And with just this most winsome personality, like, I'm here for you, what can I do for you kind of thing. And it was not until I actually, after working with the communicator that I did and getting into it myself, that I realized that he was trying so hard to make himself likable for us. He was changing his personality for each one of us. So, yeah.
That's so sweet.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm so touched by that. All right, so can anybody talk with animals, do you think?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Okay, and
absolutely.
Like when we are talking with animals, like this animal communication, what is that actually? Is it like you read their faces, like you just were talking about, you know, this winsome little face and this, you know, happy smile and all of that, or are you talking about, is it more of an impression? Is it, you know, you get a sense of, like, I'm very clear audience, so I'll hear things, not always, you know, I'll hear things. But, like, do they talk in pictures? I mean, how does it work?
Animal communication is different for each person because we all take information in differently. And I'd like to backtrack for 1 second, Anne, and say that you don't have to believe in animal communication for it to work, only in the possibility of animal communication.
Okay.
So for me, I get words too because, you know, I'm an extrovert and an Aquarius, so that's the way I communicate the most. That's the way the animals have the easiest time reaching out to me. I also receive pictures. I receive physical feelings. I don't receive smells. And animals usually do not visit me in my dreams, but those are the most common ways for people to experience the intuitive animal communication. Now, I like to take the definition of animal communication and broaden it out simply because of where we are in our society, and saying that animal communication is connecting with your animal pal on a deeper level than what you normally do. So if you're not used to watching body language and all of a sudden you're paying attention to that body language, whoa, that's animal communication. That is awesome. Possum stuff, okay? And then as you become more aware of it and more conscious of it and perhaps even more accepting of it, the next thing you know, you know, one of your animal pals is going to be sending you a message, hey, I'm hungry. Hey, the water dish is empty. What's going on here?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I really got to go out and chase that squirrel. Let me out the door. Now.
Mm-hmm.
So people will see that first through body language and then start fine-tuning their own receptive skills for animal, I call the intuitive part.
So it sounds like really it's just acknowledging that you're already getting that information and then paying attention to the ways in which you're starting to receive it, sort of like being a conscious intuitive, right?
Correct, and also getting over the fact that you are talking to a different species.
Right. Okay, so, and this can work with any level of, you know, like I can remember when I was building this beautiful garden in the middle of trauma drama back in the 2000s, early 2000s, I began to get connections and communication from the plants that I was planting.
Yep.
I would start to get, you know, no, I don't want to be there next to that one. No, that's not the right place for me. Please put me over here. And I was like, you know, it just, you know, this was as I was beginning to develop my intuition. And I just started paying attention to it. And of course, the plants started to flourish. So when I, you know, that opened me up to that whole world. And I started to, and I was with this woman one day. I'm going to tell this story because it was just, it still blows my mind, actually. So I was with this woman one day, and she was visiting my house, and she's, you know, very, very intuitive. And this ladybug flew in and started walking, crawling, I guess, on her finger. And she said to me, "Do you have any water? She's thirsty." And I was like, "Seriously?" "Really?" "Okay." So I went and I got a couple drops of water, and she put it on her, you know, like a little spoon, and she put a little, you know, drop on the edge of her plate. Put the ladybug down, and the ladybug went straight immediately to the water and started drinking. I was just like, "You've got to be kidding me." I was so blown away by that experience, and that was like, I don't know, 12 years ago, 13 years ago, something like that. I could not believe that she, like, knew that this little thing wanted water, and she just provided, it's just as, like, as natural as breathing, natural as talking. That so surprised me. Anyway, cool.
Yes, and I think that once you open yourself up to all sentient beings, I should say non-human sentient beings, it's like the magic of the world is only a step away. You know, you start off talking to dogs, to like Teddy, for example, the next thing you know, you're talking to the ant, you're talking to the woodpecker, you're talking to the mythological creatures like the dragons, you're talking to the plants, you're talking to the stones, you're talking to the river, the wind, and they're talking to you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so, all right, so let's go there for a second. Why,
okay.
Why, you know, I posted on my Facebook page yesterday this, you know, I went to the pool, went swimming, and these two incredibly beautiful mated in front of me. Like, I was so stunned. I was the only one there, and I didn't even dare move while they were, you know, having this exquisite dance and this beautiful coupling in front of me, and I found it, I was so honored by the experience. And I didn't stop to ask, like, "Hey, guys, you know, how's it going?" You know, you know what I mean? I just said, I'm not gonna disturb you, and I'm honored to be here in this moment. That was, you know what I mean? I didn't, there wasn't anything I really felt like asking, but it's like, is that a communication, or is that just, an experience. You know what I mean?
I do. I know exactly. And was it geckos?
No, they're called rainbow lizards. They're a very unusual species. They're absolutely glorious. You know, stupid bodies with a little bit of green, and then their tails are these vibrant blue tails. And there's a picture of them on my Facebook page. They're an unusual not native species, but they're in my county here, so they're they're starting to, you know, be more commonly seen, but they haven't been, you know, like, anyway, why did you ask?
It's all of the above, actually, because lizard, that is part of the reptilian part of our brain, so that is taking us back to what's really buried deep within us, okay, ancient, maternal information and everything. And I mean, it doesn't get much more ancient and maternal than the dance of creativity, okay? Yeah. The dance of reproduction and everything. And the fact that they chose to do that in front of you, and the question I would be asking them, and you can ask them questions after the fact, it does not have to happen then, is, like you said, why?
Okay.
Why? What is it in myself that you are drawing my attention to?
Okay. Goosebumps, actually. That's really cool. Yeah.
Because that's the first thing, when I saw that posting, that was the first thing that went through my brain. It's like there's something that is waiting within you, something deep that you may not have acknowledged yet, at least consciously, that is waiting to be birthed.
So that was really my interpretation, and I was thinking, as I was watching this, I was thinking, okay, reptilian brain, you know, so I had really the same impression you did. You know, basic, this is the dance between the masculine and the feminine, this is the coupling together, this co-creating with the divine, new life, new beings, new energy, new birth. This is where it comes together, and literally and figuratively, right?
Right.
It was, you know, that. So I'm getting the information. It's just not going all the way into, like, well, that's what this means. You know what I mean? So, 'cause sometimes we don't know. We won't know.
Right.
No, we
right.
can't.
There, go ahead. Sorry.
Well, it is, always with intuition, you get an idea, you get the impression, and sometimes you have to wait for the meaning to make itself clear. It's not an immediate, that's what
this
is, right, logical, from right brain to left brain kind of thing. It's not an immediate response or an understanding. A lot of times we have to wait for it to be shown. And so maybe
That's the beauty of animal communication, is that it really does move us from one side of our brain to another, and we are operating in a different dimension and in a different time. And in our everyday world where, I'm going to be at the pool from 2 o'clock to 4 o'clock, and I'm going to go home, and I'm going to, go on Twitter for a little bit and whatever, okay, that does not exist there.
Right.
In the world of animal communication. So the invitation is to take us out of our everyday world, which has all of, I love what you call the trauma drama,
mm-hmm.
which has that in there, and take us into a more quiet, a more receptive place.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's when we are in that place of reception that we are able to give birth and to what the animals, what the spirit, what the guides are trying to tell us. The other thing that's coming to me, Anne, as you're speaking of this experience, is really be aware of any vibrations you're feeling, physical vibrations, okay, or any music that really speaks to you.
Okay. That makes sense, because the lizards are so sensitive to vibration. They're so sensitive
mm-hmm.
to that. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
That makes total
mm-hmm.
sense. So last year my kitty Cubby passed, and he told me the day that it was such a surprise, but he told me, he was like, okay, I'm ready today, I'm ready. And we took him to the vet, and did indeed have kidney failure and was not going to survive. And so we put him down. And out of that, what happened for me was it opened up a whole new world of connectedness with animals,
mm-hmm.
because he became my bridge, if you will. At least that's how I interpret it. Would that be accurate? Because
sure.
I know that you talk with deceased animals. So, and you can talk with animals who've passed. We all can. But I'm curious about how did that bridge, that whole world, was he sort of like my place where he's my heart, my connectedness? And so because he passed, I was more open to that avenue, or I'd grown and developed so that when he did pass, I was able to access that world. Would that be accurate?
One of the things I love about the animals is that we always think, we think our job is to take care of the animals, and we do. We feed them, we give them water, we take them to the vets when needed, we help them pass when needed, that kind of thing. And I think sometimes in that we can get lost that it's a two-way street and they are helping us. Each animal has their own life mission, if you want to call it that. They have their own plans for their life. And a lot of times animals that connect with us, that we live with, okay, our domesticated animals, they are there for a reason, to either learn something from us or to help teach us something. A lot of times animals are mirrors to what we're experiencing, and they allow us to open up different doors to different realms, even within our own personality, our own psyche, so to speak, when we are ready to do that. So, yes, I would say that's true, and I think it's very interesting you use the word bridge, because, of course, there's also the connection of the rainbow bridge. And, opening that bridge as well as opening the bridge of communication.
Well, actually, thank you for that. That's something you just said was, I was thinking about how I've noticed that my cats who come and I can feel, for example, Pixie is my little healer kitty, and she helped teach me about healing energies, and she's sitting here right now at my feet, and we've been on a long journey together. And she and Cubby came in within a couple months of each other. And Cubby, as you said that, I just realized was anchoring my intuitive abilities because I didn't have that at that time. I didn't even open up that world at that time.
Mm-hmm.
That something that our therapist said, your intuition saved your daughter's life. And I was like, what? You know, I don't know, intuition, whatever. You know, and then he came into my life within about, I don't know, 4 or 5 months after that. And so as you said that, I'm thinking, oh, that's what he opened the whole world for me of in that time. And I didn't even notice that. I noticed it after he passed that it opened a whole new level, but I didn't notice right before. Do you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was a huge aha and a beautiful gift. Thank you very much.
And I think as we're talking about this, Anne, one thing that is coming to my mind is that we're talking about experiences that we all have with our animals in some way, shape, or form. And what we are talking about, you and I, is taking those experiences that we see every day and going into them on a deeper level.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I just think that's fascinating. It's just, I don't know, it's like recalibrating your brain to look at what you see every day a little bit differently.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. So I'm curious. Let's, if you can just humor me for a second. The whole ant thing, right?
Yep.
Damn ants. Look, I'm sorry. You know, I like ants, but I don't like them in my house, right?
Right.
And I read what you said in your blog about, you know, honoring it, and I'm like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
I don't want them in my house. Damn it. Right. So. Look, so I'm curious about that. Like, you know, we haven't had roaches. We don't deal with, you know, a lot of that stuff. But ants, and it's been this year. It hasn't been any other time. It doesn't seem to matter what we do. we have recalked. We have put down, you know, diatomaceous earth. We have, you know, I'm trying to keep everything very holistic because of the kitty.
Right.
Going through,
right.
You know, geriatric, ill, you know, kind of kitty. I'm like, so sometimes I'm just like a little crazed with the, you know, and I know that you say this, like surrender, get the lesson. I'm like, yeah, get them out of my house. Okay, then I'll,
yeah, I know. And I have to admit, it's easy for me to say that when I'm not experiencing the ants myself, you know, because I've been there with the ants. Believe me, not once, but twice. I've been there.
They don't seem to listen, Dan. You know, so I'm like, what do you even do with something? And again, I don't have the same problems that other. I mean, it's just ants, and it's in just one area, and it's, you know, whatever. It's not a big deal, but I don't like it. Okay, so like, and they're not nesting inside the house. This particular kind of ant nests outside the house, so
it just comes in to visit.
Right?
Sorry,
and I was so grateful. But
yay, the visitors are here.
I know, right? I guess my question would be, you know, anybody who's dealing with something like this, how can they make, you know, how can they just like take a deep breath in and just kind of, you know, get calm about it? I've never had an issue. I take spiders outside. I will take roaches outside. I'm not kidding. I will do that. But the ants are just too many. I can't take them all out. I mean, they do nothing else, you know, all day long. And they just in. So, you know what I mean?
Absolutely. And I commend you on having the patience to do everything that you can holistically. And I know you've talked with the ants. The one thing I would invite you to do now, do you still have the ants there?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And let me tell you, it's a one-way conversation. They just are not, I sometimes I apologize when I kill them. I'm like, I'm sorry, you guys. I just don't want you in my house, you know? Like,
yeah,
okay, well, next group's coming in, so.
Yeah. And the fact that you've recalked and all of that kind of good stuff, what I invite you to look at now is, because we're going to up the ante, so to speak.
Okay.
What part of the house is it?
Say it again.
What part of the house are you seeing the ants?
In our kitchen, where the cat food is. And these ants are protein-loving ants. They're called big-headed ants. And,
okay.
They're not all big-headed, but the you know, major carriers are the big heads, and then the rest are called minors. And believe me, I researched all this and looked at them and all that. So this particular kind likes protein. They don't like sugar. They want protein. Because so I've got these kitties who eat on the, you know, not on the floor, but they eat, you know, they're at floor level.
Right.
They, you know, that's where they come
right.
in. Yeah.
Right, right.
And they drop food. You know, the kitties are like, oh, here, auntie, here's some food for you, you know.
And it's really interesting because the cats have chimed in that they think the ants are like their play toys. So what I would encourage you to do is, first of all, have a conversation, because I know that you have talked to the ants, okay, and, you know, you've told them and you've done all the physical, you know, everyday things for repairs and everything. You've talked to the ants, and I believe you've even set some food outside for them. Didn't you do that?
No. I did
so,
not.
So you might want to try that so they don't come back into the house, okay?
Well, that was...
And just say, look, this is where the food is now. It's going to be over here, okay?
Okay.
And then chat with the kitties about, yeah, you know, they might be lovely play toys and everything, because one of your cats is showing me a picture of Bat and an ant around. But also what I would do, the energy in that particular area for some reason feels very stagnant to me.
Okay.
Okay. So are you familiar with clearing your house, saging
oh, yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Okay. I would do that, particularly there in that area. And if you work with a pendulum, I would use a pendulum to actually see what the energy level is there.
Okay.
It feels really stagnant to me.
Okay. I'll do that. I've just actually recently been doing some reorganize. I'm a pretty organized person, right? But there's some areas that I want to reorganize and get rid of. There's stuff I don't even use anymore. You know, it's still sitting in the kitchen kind of stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Probably, and that actually in feng shui, that's in the wealth section of our home. So for me, what I kept getting from the ants was these are where the leaks are, right? You've got
mm-hmm.
little leaks going on in your finances.
Mm-hmm.
So I then started like, well, okay, do I need to belong to this membership site? No, let me just close. You know what
sure.
I mean? So
sure.
just shoring up, if you will, those areas. Now that seems like they've found still one one avenue that they're coming in. So obviously there's still something there. You know,
is there a wooden cabinet there?
Say it again.
A wooden cabinet of
oh, yeah.
some sort there?
Yeah.
Okay. There seems to be something with the wood also that is really okay. stagnant.
Okay. Okay.
So I would really clear that out.
We'll do
and
that.
And also, gosh, I don't know if it's a you know, replacing the cabinet or what. But the this is going to sound really crazy. Just bear with me. The wood there feels energetically dead.
Okay.
So I would also check into that.
Okay. It's crazy to me at all. I totally get it.
Okay, yeah. There's more that's going on there than the ants. And the ants are being very helpful, much to your chagrin, and very persistent, again, much to your chagrin, about helping you see what's going on in that specific area.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Thank you for that. That's brilliant.
Sure.
Appreciate that, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, it's interesting that the, you know, when you look at the whole thing with animal communication, with bug communication or any kind of, you know, anything, it's really looking at the whole. It's looking at the, you know, the whole context of what's going on. Would you agree?
Absolutely. And I just want to go back also to the angel message that you talked about earlier. I think this applies to the ants. My message is powerful and an inspiration to all who hear it.
Oh, I did not need to hear that. Thank you very much.
I'm sorry. Okay. Cut the tape. We'll take that out. Edit it out.
Whatever. Just get out of my damn house.
And I love the way you were reacting to this, because I want to let our listening audience know that, you know, animal communication is not always warm fuzzies, okay? Sometimes it's like, get the hell out of the house, would you? I've talked to you 9 million times, and I'm sick and tired of talking to you. You know, there's the reality of us reacting like we're human because, hello, we're human.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Elizabeth has a question. Yes, Elizabeth. I love this.
Hi.
Oh, there she is.
Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi. sorry about my double intro. I don't know what went on there. I think I was concentrating too hard. I have a question, which I would really appreciate some help on. I have a little chihuahua. She sat behind me. She came in for the show, as did Anne's troop of cats. And she does pee a lot around the house, and I've tried various things and taking her to the vets for urine infections on that. I'm wondering if there would be something that you could pick up on there.
And how old is she?
Yeah, she's 9.
9, and what's her name?
Tequila.
Tequila, I love it. Okay, I am not a medical intuitive or a vet or a vet tech. What I am getting is that, yes, it's always a good thing to take your animal pal into the vet when something like that is going on. I am getting that there is something with her digestive system is just not quite right, that I'm feeling almost like a burning session from the throat on down. So it's good that you're taking her in there and getting that resolved. I am not getting the sense that it is, you know, something horrible and something to worry about. It's just something that is out of balance, out of sync, and, you know, with some medication, it will be synced back up. Is that the right word, synced? It will be back together again.
Ah, and that's causing the pee. Is that because she's distressed?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Ah, okay. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Yeah, it's almost like I feel that the whole system there is just, it's got a slight burning to it. On a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being the most and 1 being the least, I would put it at about, I'm feeling it at about a 2.5.
Okay. Oh, poor baby. Didn't know that.
Has she been pacing a lot?
She's very nervous.
Okay. Yeah, all of that is tied in together, and it's the feeling that I'm getting from her, Elizabeth, is that she almost can't relax. She's going to need some help relaxing. And if you work with a holistic vet, or if you are in connection with a vet that does acupuncture or acupressure, those are wonderful ways to get the energy field moving smoothly again and calming her down.
Oh, good. I know someone mm-hmm. who works with magnets with animals, so I'm going to try that.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
I think we need to talk later some more about that. That's fascinating. But I am getting the sense that in her energy system, it's almost like Swiss cheese. There's little holes there where the energy is zapping out.
Aw. Poor thing. Okay.
Well,
thank you.
It's wonderful. You're welcome. It's wonderful that you are on top of it. So you go, girl. Good for you and tequila.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Reverend Dan, can we open up the lines now if anybody wants to call in?
Yeah, if anyone wants to do this. I would like to hear what you do, Janet, in a pet grief session, because that's something that, you know, you do work with people and you have this unique program. So let's talk about that. Tell me what you do with people with that.
The pet grief program is actually where I'm working with a human. Now, the pet grief can be coming from an animal who is deceased, who is getting ready to cross over. It's dealing with the grief of the humans, and the animals that are left behind and helping them incorporate it. You know, and I don't want to say forget about it, but to mend their life together again. As one of my clients says, learn how to live in the new way. So in that, I am talking to the person. A lot of the times, the people are just beside themselves with grief. You know, it's what could I have done? How should I have done it better? I was so exhausted, I didn't know what else to do. And the message that I have for anybody who is listening is that when we are going through this, we are doing the best that we can. Our animals know that, and they are appreciative of it. And to keep that in mind, because we can only give so much of ourselves. And I want to go back to, you know, what we talked a little bit about earlier, Anne, is that the animals have their own life plan, so to speak. So they have their own plan on how they want to leave. And a lot of times we humans, instead of trying to fix it or trying to make it go away or try to make it back to, you know, go back to normal, it's sometimes we're just called on to walk with our beloved animal pal and be with them as they are getting ready to transition.
Yeah, that's pretty much what's going on in our world right now and has been
mm-hmm.
for time.
And it's a roller coaster ride. You know, there are ups, there are downs, there are joys, there are sadness. And it's learning how to live on that roller coaster and
yeah.
take that ride daily and come off of it safely.
Yeah, no kidding, no kidding. And to just, you know, sort of maintain your humor, your compassion, and your sense of everything's okay, even though, you know, this is, you can't fix it. I mean,
right.
you can't fix it.
It is what it is.
It is what it is, and it is very sacred to serve in a loving, compassionate way without losing your soul, you know, basically.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I posted, you know, this thing with Skittles has been going on for some time, but she now is at the point where we're having to give her antibiotic shots about every 6 weeks. I know it doesn't help her in other areas, but we're, it helps her in some areas, and the some areas it helps are more important because of her age and, you know, illness and all of that, because she'll start bleeding from her nose and, you know, and getting infections very easily and that sort of thing, and the antibiotics sort of keep that at bay.
Mm-hmm.
But this time when we went in, so we go in every 6 weeks, and this time when we went in, she had lost a pound and a half. She's down to 4 pounds. Now, she used to be like an 8-plus-pound cat.
Yeah.
So she's
mm-hmm.
really, you know, she's getting prepared. But what I discovered was she's dehydrated. So
yeah.
Now we've got a new thing that we now need to do, which is to provide her with water. And we either do it through shots or we, you know, I squirt water in her mouth. And so that's what we've been doing. And suddenly she is feeling like, you know, she can, like, move around a lot more and feeling better. And I'm like, this cat's got more sort of stamina. Seriously, it really, she just amazes me with, you know, how close to death's door she gets.
Mm-hmm.
Although earlier this year it was Pixie, you know, going through that. Now it's, you know, Skittles going through that. So it's like, I'm just like, well, okay, let's see what happens. And I just keep checking with them, how are you doing? You know, like this time it was, shall we, you know, ready to go to the vet? Yes. Do you want to be put, you know, are you ready to be put, you know, to go? Are you ready to cross? Nope. You want a shot? Yes. Okay, fine. Let's
yeah.
go.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And, you know, when our listening audience is experiencing this, it's trusting what you're hearing. If you're getting the feeling that, oh, my God, I can't take my animal to the vet because I'd just be so nervous there, and you're feeling uptight like that, that's probably, most probably coming from the animal.
Oh.
And you're picking that up.
Oh, interesting.
And it's learning how to honor that, to walk what they are looking for and what they need, you know.
Yeah.
One of my clients posted on a social media site that one of her dogs was getting ready to pass over. And it was incredible to see the comments she was getting, which is, oh, it's okay. It's okay. Everything will be fine. Just take your dog to the vet kind of thing. And it's like, no. You know, she called me and she asked me to tune in, and I did. And it was indeed time. You know, for her beloved animal pal to cross over. And he just needed the support of his family, his two-legged family, which he got.
Mm-hmm.
So while it's so hard to do that, it is also a beautiful blessing.
Well, and how blessed would we be to have that same level of compassion? And I mean, when I look at this, I think this is how I would want to be
yeah.
loved and cared for and treated and, you know, honored during this part of a part of my journey. And
mm-hmm.
so, you know, I can't imagine anything better that I can give them than that.
Right.
You know, just really.
Right, right. And, you know, it is our presence. It's not what we do. It's not how we act. It is our physical presence of being with them. That's like a security blanket.
Mm. That makes sense.
I don't know if you've been seeing this a lot on Facebook or if it's just been coming across to me, but all of a sudden I'm seeing all these posts about these horses being led into hospice and into nursing homes so they can say the final goodbye to their person.
I thought that was like so amazing. And that was in the UK, the one I saw. I was like, hats off to that Royal, I think it was the Royal Albert Infirmary in the UK. Like, seriously, hats off to them about that. What an incredible. And I don't know about anybody, you know, other places that you've been seeing, but like, my goodness, how fabulous is that?
Yeah.
People
absolutely.
That, or their dog, not just the horses, but the dog or the, you know, whatever animal has been sharing their lives.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how powerful.
Mm-hmm. Well, and there are, and I'm not talking the, you know, normal therapy animals that we think of when we think of therapy animals, but I'm talking about animals who are called to be therapy to humans. That is their life mission, their life passion.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
And to, I think that when we humans get in the way of that, that we do such a disservice to the, not only to the humans, but to the animals also.
Mm.
You know, it's like supporting the animals and doing whatever they need to do. My dog Teddy that we talked about earlier in the show, I used to teach piano in my home, and one of my adult students would come over after work, and she was always, you know, really uptight about it. And she spent her hour lesson mostly petting Teddy and talking to me about her job and everything. And we, you know, played the piano for like maybe 20 minutes. But I remember one night she couldn't play at all. She was just so upset. And Teddy literally got in between her and the pedals of the piano so she couldn't reach them, put his little chin on her leg, and she's unconsciously stroking him and petting him. And he just looks at me, and he's going, na-na-na-na-na, she came to see me tonight, not you. It's like, yay, Teddy, you do your job. Teddy, you go, buddy.
That's so funny. Oh, my goodness, what a riot. Wow.
Yeah.
So tell me about your radio show. What do you do on your radio show? Do you do this? Is it like every week, or, you know, how do you run your show? I'm curious about that because,
you know, I moved this summer, so I've been taking a break from the show, and somehow the break has extended longer than what I anticipated it would. But it's on Blog Talk Radio,
mm-hmm.
and if you go talktotheanimals.com, and it's talk with the number two, the animals radio. com, you will see it over there, and you can listen to the past shows. It's been an hour and a half format. I have two guests on there, and we talk about all things animal and animal communication, because what I have discovered, Anne, is that people who truly honor and respect animals, whether they're aware of it or not, they're doing animal communication in some way, shape, or form.
Mm-hmm.
And so we talk about that, and I give tips on how you too can talk to the animals, because I truly believe that everybody can talk to the animals. And then, of course, I talk about, you know, what we've got going on at Talk to the Animals, whether it is any of our specials or anything, you know, that we have happening, anything people might want to get involved with, any kind of events or anything. So it's really, I think it's a lot of fun, and I think it's really interesting to talk to the different people. And we have animal guests, which is just a hoot and a holler, because I used to, well, I'm sure as you and Elizabeth know, you plan out your show so you know what's going on. And I was planning in one show out probably a couple of weeks in advance, and the animal said, just play it by ear. Whoever shows up is whoever needs to show up. And I'm going, oh, no, I need to write it down. And none of the animals would come. So it got to the part where, you know, it was time for the animal guest. It's like, okay, who's going to show up tonight? And there was always an animal guest that showed up and that had a message for at least one person in the listening audience who needed
to hear that message. All right, so
wait a minute.
When you're saying an animal guest showed up, are you talking about intuitively? Are you talking about literally? Are you talking about, like, you know, look, there's a fly on the wall. That's our animal.
Well, it could be a fly on the wall, too, because the animals, the guests on the show, the animal guests, either show up to me intuitively or physically. You know, like, it's really funny. I was living in a small cottage at the time, and my computer was right by a window looking out over this beautiful valley. And, you know, Blue Jay would show up and literally knock on the window. Okay, hello, I want to be on the show. Okay, this is what I've got to say tonight. It's like, okay, fine, cool, thanks for showing up.
I love that. I might have to go listen just so I can listen to some of those show, you know, segments that they were talking about. That's so awesome.
Well, the first couple times they did that, I was like really scared. It's like, come on, guys, you know, I'm live in front of a live audience here. I need to know, you know, how you get into that producer mode. It's like, I need to know what you're going to say, when you're going to say, and how we're going to tie this all together in this beautiful bow. And the animals are just going, yeah, yeah, whatever.
It's so
which,
good.
Of course, was my lesson, to trust the process.
Right, exactly, exactly, which is what they're trying to teach us all the time anyway. And it's
well,
so funny,
I think,
like the listeners don't know this, but right before we went live, Elizabeth, you, and I were all joking that all our animals just gathered in the room with us. Like, they're all here. I mean, they're all, you know, Pixie's at my feet, Skittles is in front of me, and Maya's over on the chair, all three cats. And this never happens, like, rarely. That they're all three in the same room. Everybody's just very calm, very just like they want to be part of it. And then, you know, Elizabeth's little one is
Tequila?
Yeah, Tequila is there. Okay, so hang on. Elizabeth sent me a note here. Yes, we can fit Betsy in. Yes, yes, yes. Absolutely. So you've got your little ones there. So go for it, Elizabeth. Sorry about that.
Hello?
Hello. Is that Betsy?
Hi. Yes, this is me, Betsy.
Hey,
I have a little Maltese named Cece. She's 8 years old, and she has a barking problem. It's a problem for me in that, and I know it's more about attention. You know, she does bark at any little sound outside, but it's not just an alert. She continues to bark. Even when I say thank you very much, I see it. But it's constantly. And then when somebody comes to the house, they come in the house. She consistently barks until they take time with her, which is great. But as soon as their attention is away from her, she continues to bark. And I mean, we've had people. I want to have a dinner party. I have clients that come over, and it's like I can't. And or sometimes I'm on the phone, and she'll bark. I get on the computer to do some recording, and she's barking. I know it's about wanting my attention, but, I mean, I have her with me almost all the time, so I'm not sure what I need to do or what she's trying to tell me.
Betsy, how big did you say she was?
She's about 8 pounds. She's little.
8 pounds, yeah. She's a little girl. But
little
her
girl.
Energy
she,
is like
she's
we're
she's
talking.
Very happy. She's
What's
usually
that?
A very, very, she's a very happy dog.
Yeah.
Appears to be very happy all the time, except for the barking.
Yeah, yeah. So if you've got a picture of how big she is, about 8 pounds and everything, and you mm-hmm. multiply that by about 100 times, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So instead of seeing this little 8-pound dog, you're seeing like this 800-pound dog. That mm-hmm. is how she sees herself, how she perceives herself, that big
uh-huh.
and that much energy. And, of course, if you've got that much energy, that's your job to tell other people what to do and when to do it and how to do it. and she enjoys it. She's very good at her job. She does not see herself as a little foo-foo kind of dog.
She's
trying to impress to others to take her seriously.
Uh-huh.
Do you, like, dress her up in the cute collars and all that kind of stuff?
I used to, but she hates it.
I was going to say, don't do that.
No, she hates it. I was a home ec teacher, and I made all these cute little outfits for her when I first got her, and, it was horrible. No, we don't do that. She hates it.
She's showing me a picture of, like, a pink bow with diamonds that you put, like, up on her forehead or something. And she's just going, I hated it, I hated it, I hated it. And there's, I think, part of it is also that, now this is in her relationship with you, okay, Betsy, that
mm-hmm.
part of it is that fear that you're going to go back to doing that. So if you can just tell her that's a thing of the past, okay, that, you know, don't have to worry about that. What's really funny is I was saying that she sent me a picture of, like, this Harley biker jacket.
Uh-huh.
So if you want to make something for her, you know, make her something like a Harley biker jacket, because that's what big dogs wear, you know.
That's what big dogs wear, a spiky collar, huh?
Yeah, exactly, you know. She's a biker babe.
Okay.
Yeah, but I think that one of the keys that will be successful for you guys is you talking to her saying, yep, that part's over with. I am realizing how big you are now. Because do you ever, when you're in her vicinity, do you ever find yourself like tripping over her even though you're not next to her?
Oh yeah, she's always right. She's like my husband calls her my tail. She follows me everywhere.
Yeah, and that part of it is just her energy, because she's showing me a picture of her not even being, like, really attached to your leg like she likes to be, but, you know, a little bit farther away, and you trip over her energy.
Mm-hmm.
So keep that in mind, too. I would give her a little bit more space if she wants it. She's telling mm-hmm. me that she would appreciate that. And this is where she's such an interesting little character, because she goes into this, like, biker babe thing, and then she immediately turns around and says, but I'm a princess, too. And the princess part of her...
Janet, I'm sorry. We're going to have to finish up now. Janet and Betsy, I'm very sorry. We're coming towards
okay.
the end of the show, and we've still got
a couple
of things just to go over. So thank you so much for calling in, and I'm very sorry that I have to cut you off here. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Betsy.
Okay. Sorry about that. And Betsy, that was awesome. Really great to hear how Cece's doing. Janet, you have a gift for our listeners?
I do. It is my ebook, Listening So Animals Will Talk, because here at Talk to the Animals, we believe that you too can talk to the animals. And all they need to do to receive the ebook is go to the website, talktotheanimals.net, and that is talk with the number 2, theanimals.net. Go to the sign up, which is in the top right-hand corner, enter their email, and they will receive the book, Listening So Animals Will Talk.
I love that. When my daughter was little, my favorite book was How to Talk So Kids Will Listen and Listen to
Yeah.
Talk, right? Remember that? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So great. Janet, thank you so much for being here with us today. It was so fabulous. And, boy, talk about a subject near and dear to our hearts. Really powerful. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. It's been a delight being here, and I thank you for everything that you've done for getting me on the show. It's just been awesome.
Elizabeth is fabulous, isn't she?
She is magnificent, yes.
Yes. Okay, so each one of you are here to bring your beautiful divine gifts to the world. Take this information, take this guidance, and share it so that you can bring your light to the world the way that others bring their lights, and you can inspire others to do the same. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you next week. Go get your divine on, everyone. Bye now.
This episode of the Divinely Intuitive Business Show has been sponsored by the Divine Business Club, the only place where divine intuitives like you can get proven business building advice on how to get your sacred gifts out into the world and make the impact and the money that you want to make for less than $1 a day. For more information, go to www.divinebusinessclub.com.